Hello, my name is Joseph Robinson, and my favorite movie is Halloween 1978.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into another episode of My Favorite Movie Is. I'm Dusty Costreza alongside Mitch Wiley. Today we welcome on Joseph Robinson, whose, as you heard, favorite movie is the 1978 James Carpenter movie.
John Carpenter.
Halloween.
John Carpenter. James is his cousin that just does love stories.
Yeah. James and Nicholas Sparks teamed up for
a Halloween reboot. Fault in Our Stars. It's a different kind of movie.
It's going to be weird when John Carpenter joins in on that movie. It's going to be strange.
It's going to be a super weird movie. We're going to talk about Halloween as it is getting close to Halloween. So you know, we always start with, Joe, tell us about your relationship to movies. How did you grow up watching movies? Did they play a large integral role in your life today? Give us a little background.
Movies have been my favorite thing for as long as I can remember. I was always watching movies. I watch TV, but nowadays, I watch movies and I watch wrestling. That's generally the two things I watch.
What a combo.
Right now. I know. I'm just, what you all will learn in this, I am a huge dork. I play Dungeons and Dragons. I used to host a podcast. I watch wrestling. I love movies. I'm a huge dork. But anyways.
Judgment free zone here.
Yeah.
From two fellow dorks.
I've got a D&D campaign going right now.
I thought it was weird we were recording in a Planet Fitness, but I just went with it. So,
can I get that dumbbell kick? I need a spotter right now.
Can I get some kettlebells over here, please?
No, what is it? No lunks, lunk alarm? I don't know. I paid $10. That place probably still don't know. I've never been there.
The last time anybody's been to a gym was 78, when this movie was released. Nobody's been to a gym since.
Everyone joined Planet Fitness in 1978, but then never went again.
It's just auto-renew. Every year, credit card just pays over. They pay the yearly fee.
But in high school, we used to play a game where my friends would literally give me a scenario, and I would give them a movie where that scenario was represented, and I was undefeated. It would just be something would happen. I'd be like, oh, that's in this movie where it's such and such and such. And I would name the actors in the movie. I mean, I just, at one point in my life, I owned over 300 DVDs. I've since sold and got rid of a lot of them because my wife was like, you can't, this is out of control. But I don't know if y'all can see it, but there's a bookshelf back there that's all full of DVDs. This little cabinet back here to my left, I actually built that to hide DVDs because people kept stealing them when they came to my house in college.
They were stealing your DVDs?
Yeah, someone stole DVDs. The disc out of the DVDs and left the case, and then they stole the battery compartment of my Xbox controller back in the day. Not the extra controller, just the battery compartment. And I was like, why wouldn't you just take the controller if you're going to go through that much work? But I love movies. I especially love horror movies. I'm so psyched for Halloween Kills. It premiered today, and it premiered when we recorded this in Venice, at the Venice Film Festival, and I would just give anything to have been able to be there. And I've always been a Jamie Lee Curtis fan, since the original. I love True Lies is a favorite. Prom Night is another great movie. Terror Train's great. I've seen all those. I'm a big fan of hers because of it. And a lot of John Carpenter movies. But really, this one is the one that started it all. This is the one I remember really scaring me first, which I think is why it has such an impact on me. And it scared me for the stupidest reasons, but it scared me nonetheless.
Yeah. All right, so I've got a scenario for you. There is a younger kid. His mom and dad have a new baby. Bring the baby home. And what they find out over the next few weeks is the baby is actually a secret spy that is trying to take over the world.
So wait, are you giving me a movie I have to name, or a scenario where that scenario is represented? Because the game was something would happen, and I'd be like, oh, this happened in such and such movie.
Yeah, that happened to me. I brought home a baby and it tried to take over the world.
Is that Boss Baby?
Well, yeah, he put me on a spy. I knew if I told you the story. That was honestly my first thing, because they're coming out with a new Boss Baby, but my daughter has not gotten into that, but I did think that was Boss Baby, yes.
It is Boss Baby, yes.
We're currently watching Halloween Town.
I thought you were about to say we're currently watching Halloween.
So far.
It's like, oh, man.
I cannot wait till she gets older and we can watch horror movies that are actually good.
Yeah, probably a little too early for...
She is three.
Yeah.
It's going to be a minute. I don't know, man. She loves it. We go to stores and she wants to look at the monsters, and we went to the Pumpkin Patch last year. All she would do is go through the haunted house.
So. Is Calabar the best villain name of all time?
That is a good one. I definitely think Calabar is a good one. What was one the other day? Game of Thrones had some of the best villain names. And I don't think they even meant to be villain names, but they just worked as villain names. Like Khaleesi, she wasn't a villain till the end, but that is such a, just a bomb villain.
Mother of Dragons.
You were killed by Khaleesi. Like, I always thought, yeah, she should have been a villain from the start. That was a mistake on their part, but Calabar's pretty good. And then his son was,
I've always thought Halloween Town was one of the better Disney Channel original movies.
She watched that. My wife went to Nashville this past weekend for a girls' trip, so we stayed home and watched movies and hung out. We watched Halloween Town. We found this movie called Toy Story Terror. It's 22 minutes. It's awful. And it's as bad as you think it is. And then I introduced her to Phantom of the Megaplex, the Disney Channel original movie. So it's bad. But it was great when I was a kid.
That legitimately scared me when I was younger.
Megaplexes scare me at this point in my life because you never know what's going to happen anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. That was Mickey Rooney's, actually his biggest role was in Phantom of the Megaplex. True. I think he was nominated for an Oscar.
Is that only because that was his maximum weight he was before he died? Because he was a big man in that movie.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace. We'll give some props for us too. So, Joe, when you watch movies, what are you looking for? What makes a good movie to you?
To me, a good movie is atmosphere. When I watch a movie, I do everything I can to put myself in that movie. And it's kind of frustrating. If I start a movie, I can't finish it tomorrow. I have to finish it tonight. If I start a movie at 10:30, I'm staying up no matter how late it is and what time I have to go to work the next morning to finish that movie. Unless I've seen it like 7,000 times and it's a terrible movie. Like if it's like Mr. Nanny featuring Hulk Hogan, I'm like, whatever, I can finish that tomorrow. But for the most part, I have to stay up. So like my goal starting September 1st was to get through 75 horror movies for Halloween. At the time of this recording, I've watched 10 and we're 8 days in. So yeah, some days I have to really burn them. So I watch them on my lunch break at work. With streaming services, it makes it really easy. But if I just sat down and made out a list off the top of my head of horror movies and I got 123.
How are you picking the 75?
A lot of them are like ones I really want. Like obviously I'll watch all the Friday the 13th. I'll watch all the Halloween. I've never watched the Freddy movies through, so I'm going to watch all of those. Saw, I'll watch those because they're all streaming available. And then like I just pick a lot of ones I really like. Like The Strangers I put on there. I've already watched Your Next. I've watched the Phantasm series. If you all have never watched those, I highly recommend them if you like campy horror movies. They're on Peacock, streaming on Peacock right now. They're terrible. I'm not going to tell you they're good movies, but they are fun. It's like kind of like Devil, Afterlife, Claiming of Souls. It's not like a slasher. It's got these little silver balls that fly through the air and stick in your forehead and drill out your brain. And it's weird. It's different. I think it's different. That's why I like it so much. But and it's the same characters through five movies, which I really enjoy because you see them like actually grow up. But to me, atmosphere is the most important thing. Like when I think of my favorite movies, like Halloween's obviously up there. Goodfellas is my other favorite movie of all time. And like when I watch Goodfellas, I feel like I'm there with Henry Hill. Like I feel like I'm not Italian, so I can't be made, but I'm part of that group now. And another movie I really like to watch is John Wick. And when I watch John Wick, it almost like I'm hurt. I'm in that. I'm sweaty. I'm tired. I'm whatever. Like the way the music hits you and the way it's shot and the lighting, you feel like you are in that situation. And that those are the movies that grip me and hold me and really keep me there. And that's the movies I end up loving.
Yeah, I had to take a shower after I watched John Wick for the first time. Drenched in sweat. So are you like your favorite movies? Are you looking for like serious movies? Are you looking for more entertainment value?
No, I'm literally all over the place. If you somehow asked my top five movies, I would say Halloween. I would say Goodfellas. I love The Goonies. I think it's hard for me to pick a John Wick. I really like John Wick 3, but John Wick 1 is also so good. So I don't know if I could pick one. Top Gun's probably on that list for me. That was probably like the most pivotal movie for me growing up. Really? I went through 3 VHS copies of Top Gun because I watched them so much it literally wore the tapes out.
How many times have you seen Top Gun?
I've probably seen Top Gun over 100 times at least. I bet
how many times have you seen Halloween?
Over 100 times at least.
Are those the two most, or is there another one out there that you've probably seen 600
yeah,
times?
Yeah, probably. Goodfellas is a hard watch sometimes. There's a lot to digest in Goodfellas. That's not an easy one just to...
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of there's just a lot movie. Going on in there. It's not an easy one just to throw on it if I got a few minutes and see what happens. And
let me just pop in Goodfellas real quick.
Yeah, I have to say that Top Gun's probably up there. Halloween's up there. Dumb and Dumber is probably really up there for me. Tommy Boy, probably a little bit over Dumb and Dumber, but very close. But I'm all over the place. Drama, horror, action, comedy, you know, whatever.
A man of many genres.
It's pretty broad spectrum. I'm just a movie guy through and through.
Movie dude, for sure. Do you have... Round out your Mount Rushmore of horror movies for me. So you got Halloween. Yeah.
Friday the 13th, part 4.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, the final chapters. That's the one's got Crispin Glover, Marty McFly's dad in it. And you introduce Tommy Doyle.
The final chapter, and it's part 4 of like 13 or something.
Well, that was the original goal was to end the series, and then they realized, oh hey, these make money, so we should keep going. It spoiler, but if you watch the 5th Friday the 13th, Jason Voorhees is not even the killer. It's just someone dressed up like Jason Voorhees.
What do you guys
think
named
Roy?
The budget for the final chapter was, and how much did it make?
That was probably the highest. After that was after Friday the 13th Part 3, which was 3D. Final chapter, the cinematography went way up. I venture to guess the budget was probably $7-8 million, and it probably grossed somewhere mid-20s. That's just a straight ballpark. I have no idea.
I have no idea. I don't know. Mitch. Were the Friday the 13th? I don't remember. I'm not as familiar with those as I am with the Halloween sequels. Were those also pretty low budget slasher movies?
Yeah, the first one was really low, but I mean nothing compares to like the original Halloween. I mean it was like $326,000 to make the original Halloween, and it grossed like I think. It's like $70 million over lifetime. Mm-hmm. It's like one of the highest grossing movies of all time because of that. It was made so cheap and then made so much money. Friday the 13th was pretty low. It was backed by Paramount because it came out after Halloween. They saw the commercial success of Halloween and they did. So I think it probably had more money behind it. They're both equally weird. Like they just get like, you know, Jason gets mythical powers. Michael gets, he's ungodly at that point. I mean, it's just, they get out there, but 4 was always my favorite. My third movie on my Mount Rushmore would be Scream 2, which would probably be a controversial pick because everyone loves Scream, and I love Scream, the original Scream, but like Scream 2.
That is controversial, yeah.
So all these movies have a funny story of me watching them. Scream 2, I remember going on a vacation trip and staying at the Tony Inn in Gatlinburg, Tennessee with all of my family, and my aunt rented that movie, and I was like, 10, something yeah. like that, 11.
Good
and I was like, I can watch this movie.
Awesome. Yeah.
I'm good. Great, so I was like, I can watch it. And at the beginning of Scream 2, they give you exposition by playing a movie of what happened in Scream, a fake movie of what happened in Scream 1. And the Scream guy pops up and you see his face. And I was like, nope, can't do it. Can't do it. I'm out. And I go into the other room. My mom's watching some soap opera. And I was like, I can't be a wuss. So I go back in there and like make myself watch Scream 2 to not be a wuss and then have to have ridicule for the rest of the time. And it's always had a special place for me. Halloween, I stumbled upon on AMC Fear
Fest.
Yes,
me too.
Same thing with Friday the 13th, Part 4. And Halloween scared me so much on Fear Fest. I came on right at the scene after he kills Linda, and she pulls the ghost sheet down and exposes his face for the first time, and I was so afraid. Some personal information. I actually decided to give my life to Christ 3 nights after that because I was so afraid of Michael Myers. I thought that he would save me. So I was like, well, I've got to do this. So that's
John
how
Carpenter,
I came to Jesus, because of Michael
out
Myers.
Out here bringing people to the Lord.
Who knew he was witnessing? And Fear Fest.
I still haven't had sex because of this movie. too scared.
Well, and we'll talk about that. I don't think Michael Myers is actually against sex. I think he's more the embodiment of evil, and you don't see the evil because you're distracted by sex and alcohol and drugs. I don't think he really doesn't care about you having sex. It's you are distracted and can't from the good, so you can't see the evil. But anyways, Fear Fest, there's a scene in part four where he's killing this dude. Jason Voorhees killing this dude at the end, and the guy's like in this basement. He's like, "He's killing me! He's oh my god, he's stabbing me!" And a woman's like running up and down the stairs, and it just stuck to me, like watching her and then walk around him while he's on the ground. So those four, and then I have to think for my third movie. That's my fourth movie. That's really tough. I really like The Strangers. I really like Your Next. If you've all never seen that,
it's a home invasion really good movie.
It's a home invasion movie, and it's got a pretty, you know, plot and twist and whatever. I won't ruin it for anybody if you haven't seen it. I really like that. It's just shot really well. Yeah, I'd say that's probably up there. I don't know if that's my fourth, but it's definitely up there for me as those four.
Now,
Final Chapter, 2.2 budget.
Oh, shoot. 33 that's million. That's why I kept making them gross. Right there.
Pretty good. So I was you're pretty close on my gross, but I wasn't good on my budget. I said 7 million. But also, I don't really know how much movies are made for in the 80s. I know now it's like you make Avengers and it's like $300 million to make that movie.
Yeah, they were definitely balling on a budget for this movie. So. Couldn't even afford... Like, I think the close of the – I was reading the trivia on IMDb, doing rigorous research, and they couldn't even afford clothes for the cast members. They had to go out and buy them themselves.
Yeah, Lori wore her own clothing for this movie.
I shot a training video for the United States Postal Service, and they provided wardrobe for me. That blows my mind that, you know, one of the biggest movies ever, they couldn't give them wardrobe. They had to go buy their own. And well, USPS is over here giving me a flannel. The crazy
thing is they shot it, you know, they shot that in Pasadena, but it was set in Haddonfield, Illinois. So they had to take leaves, and they would put leaves down to film scenes. And then as the scene was over, they'd run over and rake the leaves real quick and put them back in trash bags, not crush them. And just the stuff like that. Like they made the NAS like the night before the filming. Just they went and bought a mask and started playing with it. And Deborah Hill, who's the producer on there, she plays Linda, the girl he strangles after she shows her tatas. You actually see her. She's the teacher. And in the opening scene where the little kid grabs a knife, that's her hand. She's used so many times in different scenes solely for the fact of they didn't have enough actors to play. Nick Castle, who plays the Shape, he's not actually called Michael Myers for, I think, one time in the original movie. He made $25 a day on set. He got paid $25 a day to play Michael Myers the first time.
My gosh, give that man a pay raise. Induct him to the Hall of Fame.
He's in the new one. So in the new Halloween 2018 and the new Halloween Kills, he's actually in it in all of like the B-roll shots of Michael Myers, not when he's fighting people, but like just standing there staring. That's Nick Castle. They wanted his mannerisms back. James Jude Courtney plays actual Michael with all the stunts and everything else. But Nick Castle is the one who's like, if Michael's standing and staring, that's Nick Castle, the original actor.
So give us your synopsis of Halloween.
Well, you asked me that. I wrote it out. It ended up being almost 5 paragraphs. And I was like, I don't think that's a synopsis. I think at this point, this is a plot.
Yeah, that's a Wikipedia
basically
article.
Six-year-old Michael Myers one night loses his mind, and after his sister Nancy goes up and has what has to be the shortest sex of all time with her boyfriend.
The shortest sex of all time.
Well, all if you don't notice, all the sex in these movies is like they're all bad.
Yeah.
Linda and Paul, not Paul.
See, I thought that first one's timing was pretty realistic.
Well, buddy.
48 seconds, man.
Good luck.
Thoughts and prayers to your wife.
Yeah, no kidding. But it's over in like 30 seconds. And then he comes up, and then, you know, Michael goes up and he murders his sister, Nancy. She's laying there weirdly with her door open, brushing her hair naked. He's sent off to Smith Grove Sanitarium, where he's under the care of Dr. Samuel Loomis, played by the late and great Donald Pleasance. The first movie I ever saw Donald Pleasance in was a James Bond movie. He has to be the only actor with that kind of chops that went in Halloween. But he was the original Ernst Stavish Blofeld with Sean Connery.
What a name.
October 30th, 1978, a young Michael Myers escapes when he's going to be transferred by his doctor and his nurse Nancy Warren. Escapes Smith's Grove Sanitarium, traveling back to Haddonfield, where he continues to wreak havoc on some unsuspecting babysitters. I've always wondered, what scared me so much about Halloween is he picked Lori because she came to his house.
Hmm.
You know, in second movie, they do the background where he's a sister, but in the first movie, that's never established. So literally, anyone could have walked up to that house and put something in a mailbox, and Mike would have been like, oh, you know what? I'm going to stalk and kill you.
He
had no reason to kill her.
I forgot she went up to his house, because as I was talking to Mitch earlier and taking notes, that was my big thing, was what's our motivation here? There's nothing, like, understandably, he's evil.
That's why he's faceless, he's nameless, he doesn't speak, he has no motivation. He kills because her dad was a realtor and she put something in the box. Which also was my question when I saw that was, who's getting that? If the dad's the realtor, who could get in the house to get the paperwork that's put in the mailbox?
And
it's one of those ones in the door, so it went in the house. Who can get that?
That's a good question.
You can't show that house to someone and be like, I put the key inside.
It's like, yeah, we need to get inside to get the key.
So the whole plot, John Carpenter, it breaks down from there. You really need to go back and rewrite this.
I kind of hate this movie now.
So
I've watched this I don't know how many times, and I never put together that the reason he stalks her is because she went to his house.
Until the second movie, he has no reason to.
That was literally my biggest critique, was we have no motivation there.
You came to me. You're the only person. My sights are set on you. I'm good. And then if you think about it, he's just like, well, sorry, I picked you. You lose. He stalked her.
I mean, I guess that's how, like, actual serial killers are a lot of times, right?
Yeah, I mean, I that makes sense. You know, usually they're, like, out and about. They don't have someone who put something in their mailbox. But, you know, whatever. No judgment on his part.
Speaking as a serial killer, he says.
The shape continues to stalk Lori in numerous ways throughout the day. Some great, great background scenes in there. Later that night, Lori is babysitting a young Tommy Doyle. Across the street, her friend Annie is babysitting a Lindsay Wallace.
Tommy is one of the most annoying kids I think I've ever seen in a movie.
Well, he becomes Paul Rudd when he grows up, so should be interesting.
That's true, yeah.
Halloween 6.
And that's like Halloween
6, The Curse of Michael Myers, played by introducing Paul Rudd.
I thought you were going to say Paul Joseph Rudd. Is that...
People don't remember Paul Rudd as the Scream King, but there you go.
Yeah, well, technically the first movie that he came out in was Clueless, but that Michael Myers curse rap before Clueless did.
That movie made me scream.
No kidding. But he begins by killing a young Annie Brackett, the sheriff's daughter, by strangling her in her car. Then her friends Linda and I want to say Paul, but I don't think that's it. I think Paul is Annie's boyfriend.
Yeah, Paul's Annie's boyfriend.
Linda and... Anyways, it's their boyfriend. He kills both of them by taking them out. Lori realizes something is amiss, goes across the street, and starts the shortest but greatest third act chase scene of any movie, I think. It's literally 12 minutes. Lori makes contact with Michael Myers for 12 minutes in that movie, I think. That's the only time that they acknowledge each other as being in the same room.
Her boyfriend is Bob.
And if you think of Bob, that's right, Bob. Yeah, you're right. So thus begins a chase scene where he seems to outsmart her multiple times, but with her feminine wits and her Girl Scout mentality, she is able to improvise, adapt, and overcome, and eventually take him out to where she thinks he's out, but he magically comes back to life, starts strangling her, but lo and behold, his own doctor comes to her rescue, shooting him 6 times. I shot him 6 times. He doesn't say that in this movie. He says it in the next movie. He only shoots 5 shots, though, I think. But he shoots him. Michael falls off the balcony. The doctor checks on Lori, goes to check on the shape, and lo and behold, he's gone.
So you haven't seen the movie. That saved you about 90 minutes.
91 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. So please just listen to this podcast, and you'll know. So, Mitch, give us the internet synopsis. What does that sound like?
So the internet synopsis from IMDb is a little bit shorter, and it's...
I think I cut mine down.
Yeah, it reads, quote, 15 years after murdering his sister on Halloween night 1963, Michael Myers escapes from a mental hospital and returns to the small town of Haddonfield, Illinois, to kill again.
Full so stop. Spooky.
I mean, that's pretty...
Yeah, I would pick yours over that one.
It gets at the...
I'm selling the sizzle, not the steak.
Yeah, it's right. getting yeah, to yeah. the... That's bare bones, getting to the essence of the plot.
That's pomp and circumstance at its finest. So you already kind of told us the first time you watched, or have you told us? No, you told us about Scream 2.
AMC.
Yeah, AMC Fear Fest. I was probably fifth grade, I think is what I was actually.
See, this is my.
What was your original impression?
So that put me at 10, 11.
Yeah, you and I are pretty much tracking the exact same way because Halloween is my. I recently did my favorite movies list, kind of reorganized it again, and Halloween's number 4, so I'm obviously very high on this. And the first time I saw it, it's hard to say when, I probably would have been 10 or 11, and it was always on AMC Fear Fest, like, all the time, every October. And I used to get real, that was like my introduction to horror, was AMC's Fear Fest. And would watch horror movies after school, pretty much from 4 to, you know, 9 p.m., AMC all October every year. And Halloween was the one that definitely scared me the most. And it's still scary to me. I mean, to the point where, so I was talking to Dusty earlier, and I think the thing that scares me the most about the Halloween movie is that it makes something that should be safe, like a middle America suburb, and turns it into just this nightmare setting. Where there's something that you can't stop but is going to kill you.
Well, it's not only middle America, but it's someone coming after you doing things you do on a nightly basis. You're with your friends, you go hang out at Halloween, you drink beer, you have sex with your boyfriend or girlfriend if that's something you're into. You do all those things, and like, it's like that's just normal life. Like, you're not doing anything really bad.
You're just living your life, you're being a high schooler, and there is... I hesitate to even say somebody because I think the movie's pretty clear that while this is a person, I think metaphorically it's operating at a higher level than that. It's evil incarnate, and it's going to kill you.
Right. It's the blackest eyes.
He murders so hard that he makes people cross their eyes. Never seen that. I've seen a lot of dead people in my life. I've never seen anybody cross their eyes after they passed away.
Well, I mean, even if you think about it, he killed people who did nothing wrong. Like, he killed that poor truck driver at the beginning of the movie, they just take his jumpsuit.
We don't know
like,
what
that guy
did
nothing wrong. He was just trying to earn a buck.
I'm gonna be honest. I think he was masturbating in his truck.
He may have been. It was right by a payphone, which you don't see anymore.
Right, and why was he pulled off so far off of the road? I guess he took his
jumpsuit.
Yeah,
that was the reason.
But, that's my theory. I think.
And I mean, honestly, if you think about, he killed Annie had done nothing wrong. She had talked about doing it, but she never did anything wrong.
Yeah, they were just distracted.
She never drank.
And I guess that's a good a time to bring this up as any, because I was listening to the, I'm sure you've done your research, obviously, but the audio commentary is the first time I've listened to it with Deborah Hill and John Carpenter and Jamie Lee Curtis. But they were very defensive through the majority of the commentary talking about like TV, movie violence, and sex and violence on screen, and they were really pointing out how kind of like clean their movie was, with just a couple exceptions. And even,
I mean, there's no blood.
Yeah,
there's no blood. It has nudity in it, but like,
tasteful,
I saw more boobs
right?
Rewatching Halloween than I have
not
in the past
really.
Like 3 years.
You got
to work in a hospital.
I mean, it's pretty. I mean, I agree with him. It's pretty clean if you watch it.
No, it is. There's not a ton of blood. It's not
there's no language.
Yeah.
Scary now is
do they
like
cuss?
Over, I don't think so.
Even the actual like, if you look at the first scene, that tracking shot, even that scene, where probably the most like continuous stabbing, you're looking at the stabbing through a a vision that's not even full screen. You're not even seeing the knife go into the skin or anything like that. But.
Yeah, I mean, he stabs her in the arm. She falls off, but literally you just see it skim her shirt. It never shows any blood.
Yeah. So,
I think she has a little bit of blood running down her arm later in the movie, but that's
one of my biggest critiques is when he stabs or when he attempts to stab Laurie, you're telling me he missed like 3 times? He's like a supernatural killer, and he just straight misses her diving across the couch? No way that happens. No way that happens.
I just want to know what kind of hanger they have that she was able to unbend that hanger, stick it in his eye. I don't know if y'all ever used a hanger to make hot dogs when you were a kid, but they do. There's everywhere. That hangar, there's no rigidity to it. It just, you, doesn't matter how well you bend it, it's flopping all over the place.
Yeah. Not only that, but you're not going to kill a man with it. And probably my biggest pet peeve of the movie, and of course I'm very forgiving to it because I've loved it for so long, but when she drops the knife, not once, but twice, near what she perceives to be a body, a dead body, I mean, that's just the ultimate, you got to keep that knife, or you got to keep...
That's where Zombieland comes in handy. They say, you got to do the double tap. She had to hit him right in the head after she kills him.
I think what we need to do is we need to give the real props to Nick Castle, because he has the ab muscles of steel. The way he does the Undertaker raise up at the end, where he's just laying dead flat and just goes whoosh and raises straight up. No, nothing. Just sits up, doesn't use his arms, all nonchalantly and quietly. I mean, that dude never skips ab day.
He's the only one who's been using this Planet Fitness membership since 78.
See, I would argue... I would argue that the first hour is more unsettling and maybe even more scary than that last, like, 30, that third act that gets so crazy. Because like you said, it's the mood, it's the atmosphere... There's so much dread and like fear. It's palpable. You can just feel the.
Well, and not only that, is psychologically, she has to be questioning herself, because she sees this man constantly, this white faced man just constantly everywhere she is, but no one else sees him. No one else has the ability to see him. So not only is she thinking, wow, this creepy dude is following me around, but she's also thinking, is he actually following me around? Am I really seeing this? Am I just dreaming?
So Michael Myers is gaslighting her in the process.
And he's ghost. He's the original ghoster. He's ghosting like, hey, I'm here. Not here for you.
I busted out loud when he walked in with that sheet to the upstairs room. Very underrated aspect of Michael Myers, has a sense of humor. And has a sense of showmanship, right? He puts his sister's tombstone.
Look at how he lays those bodies out. Yeah. Lays the body out. He puts Linda in the closet. Somehow he got Paul to hang up there and then flop down at the perfect time.
So that's...
Or the Bob.
I've got a big issue with when he kills Bob, right? He strangles him, lifts him up in the air. But then when he's chasing...
With one arm.
When he's chasing Laurie through the house, you're telling me he can't break open those two doors that are tied together with like a necktie? In the closet?
Well, and I think, honestly, I think to defend that a little bit, I think to him, that's his goal. And his goal is to scare her, to torment her. And he wants to, like, he put those bodies on show for her. No one else was there for her. He wanted her to find those bodies. So his goal is to scare her. So it's not a quick, I just want to stab you and be done with this. His whole goal is,
and he's really dragging it out,
scare her.
So you think he missed those stabs on purpose? You think he, when he dove across the couch, he missed her on purpose?
I don't know if he missed the stabs on purpose. I think it's more of, to him, he wanted a long, drawn-out process. I mean, how many times did he stab his sister? It's like 14 times. He could have stabbed her once and killed her. He didn't choose to do that.
So maybe when he misses... He's not trying to miss her necessarily, but he's not going for the kill, obviously.
I think his whole thing is he wants that scare, that fear to build and take her out and just be the, I mean, he is what Doctor says, you know, when he does that monologue, which is the best spoken part of the movie, if I can't say. Dr. Loomis's spoken monologue when they're in the Myers house, the Sheriff Bracken.
You want
to
give us your
is the
you
best
want to give
actor.
Us your impression?
Well, hold on. I've got my handy dandy textbook. Your viewers at home won't be able to see this, but I do have a book
we've got
based
clips.
Solely on Halloween that breaks down every movie up till 2018. I got to get a new book to break down.
Can we,
Jamie Lee Curtis has to die in this newest one, right?
No, there's another one coming. Can we pause right here, Joseph?
She's
and
already...
Let me ask you this: what are your general thoughts on like the? I guess the series, the Halloween series, the Halloween franchise. Are you a fan of the sequels and the reboots, and then the reboot slash sequels? Do you like them?
Yes. So to answer your question, I own every movie. Actually, I take that back. I do not own Halloween 3: Season of the Witch. And for the longest time, I would not watch that because it didn't have Michael in it. But I'll admit, I was wrong.
Good movie.
It has its
good
place. Movie. It's really good. It's fun. It gets kind of rapey. Tom Atkins is with that like 16-year-old girl, I think, 19-year-old girl. It's a little strange. It's a weird contrast to go from Michael Myers doing like nothing weird sex-wise, alcohol, booze-wise, cussing, to Halloween 3, which he really wanted to write, where he like has like extended sex scenes. The guy's a living drunk who's a doctor. It's just a big change. But I don't own that one. I plan to buy that this year. But I love every one of them. Some of them, I'm not a really big fan of the Rob Zombie ones. I don't really like the Hellbelly stuff. I watched them. I own them. And I'll watch them because I'm a completist. And I want to watch the entire series in succession.
Rob Zombie's but got I'll a, watch weird, those once. A weird obsession with hillbilly culture.
Rob Zombie's got a weird obsession with his wife.
Yeah, well.
Like, to weird levels that he just puts her in stuff. And I'm like, dude, I get it. You think your wife's hot and you want us to think your wife's hot. But, like.
Just chill out, man.
Overkill.
Now, with those Rob Zombie ones, do you think that. Because I feel like with the people who like him like it because you get more Michael Myers backstory.
Yep.
And the people who don't like it because you get more Michael Myers backstory.
Michael Myers doesn't need backstory. Like, it doesn't matter why he kills.
I agree.
He's scary because he does what he does for no reason. And, like, it's just so overboard. Like, the language and, like, the profane, like, it's just perverse. It's terrible. It takes me out of the, we talked about, like, atmosphere and putting yourself there. It takes me out of that. You lose all of that by that.
I haven't seen the Rob Zombie one, so I can't speak to those. But to me, backstory adds that. It adds that atmosphere of, I understand where this character's coming from. I have empathy. I have sympathy for these people now. Like, that is probably my biggest critique of Halloween, the original, is, like, the people who he's killing, I have no interest in. Like, I don't care that they died. You know, I have no connection to them whatsoever.
That sounds like a personal problem to me.
I think it's not supposed to be, like, where you have, like, you have a connection to them because, like, you personally know them. I think the connection is meant to be, like, it could easily be you. Like, he's not choosing someone who's a robber or murderer or whatever. He's just choosing someone random he saw on the street.
Yeah. Even
who's
boring
doing
people.
Nothing wrong.
That's why I choose not to pork.
Lori is boring. But I love them all.
Do you have a favorite besides the 78 one?
I really like 2018.
Okay.
I really, really like 2018. I dragged my wife to see it because I couldn't get anybody else to go. She does not like horror movies.
Same.
But I really enjoyed 2018. I thought David Blum and David Gordon Green and Blumhouse and Danny McBride and all of them did a really good job with them. I'm excited for Kills.
Yeah. People forget that Danny McBride, did he write
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Mr. Eastbound and Down. He was a co-writer on it.
There you
yeah.
go. How about that?
An EP. And I like H2O a lot. That was in my. I remember sitting outside of my house. Probably, let's see, H2O came out in 98. I would have been around the same age as I was when I watched the original Halloween. It came out, and my one of my good friends in my neighborhood, he couldn't see it, but his sister was older, and she went and saw it, and she was like giving us like the breakdown, detail by detail, of the movie, and we were just eating it up because we couldn't go see it in a theater. The first DVD I ever bought was Halloween Resurrection. It's not a great Halloween movie, but it has nostalgia for me because it was the first DVD I ever purchased. I bought that in Joyride. I really like 4.
Is that the one with Daniel Harris? Which one has the, is it his niece?
Yeah, that's his niece. That's the first one with 4. She's really good in it. Ellie Cornell, who plays her sister, is really good. The story's pretty solid. I really like 4. If I'm going to watch one that's not 1 or maybe 2 because they pick up right where they left off for 2018, I'm probably going to choose 4.
I really like Halloween 2, the one from, is it 81?
Yeah, that picks up directly after the original.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's really fun. I think the Halloween or the hospital setting
I like that
in particular is good.
Hey, what hospital has like 3 people that work in it, even if you are a small little town? And B, like they take Lori out of it. Like, she does nothing in that movie till the third act, and that was kind of weird to me because I really love her.
Yeah, and so. We get, like, the nurse and, like, the janitor. Like,
yeah,
in the sauna in the basement, yes, you're just like, what is – what kind of
paramedic,
hospital is this?
Yeah, and it, they
– or paramedic, yeah. That's who it is.
And,
yeah.
And Michael – that's probably one of the best kill scenes of all time in the series.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's incredible.
He cranks the heat of the hot tub and, like, burns her flesh to kill her. Yeah, at a therapy tub.
He gets more creative, especially with needles in the second one. And I hate needles, so that, like,
yeah, he stabs a girl in her temple with a needle full of air and then pumps the air into her temple.
Yeah.
There's some good ones.
He's a smart dude for living most of his life in a, you know, psych hospital. Yeah, well, I mean,
Always the biggest question I have when I watch the Rob Zombie version, because, you know, they focus a lot. The first 45 minutes is Michael growing up and Michael at Smith Grove. What gym system does Smith Grove Sanitarium have in it? Because he's like this normal looking, kind of almost husky boy. And then you see him later and he's like this 6'8", 295 pound, like he's bigger than John Cena. And it's like, what the heck is he doing? He sits in his room all day. Like, what? I just do push-ups constantly. I mean, it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. That transition is strange.
That's what I thought on this rewatch. He's pretty slight. He's not as like thick as I remembered him being. When you first see him outside of the school, when he's kind of stalking Tommy, he really kind of skinny.
That's the best part about watching all these movies in succession is the change of Michael. So like Halloween 1, Nick Castle plays him. He didn't come back for 2. David Rosenthal, who was the EP on Halloween 1, he plays him. And he's a little bit fatter than Nick Castle. So the mask is literally the same mask, but when Nick was done filming a scene in the Halloween 1, he would just take the mask in his back pocket and rock around with it all day in there. So it's all deformed, and his face is, the guy who he's in the second one, his face is fatter. So it fills the mask. I was like, why'd you change the mask? The mask is literally the same mask.
Fatter
it's just
guy.
All deformed, and he's fatter.
And it seems like they never get the mask right after those first two. Like, they're all...
Well, and then Halloween 6, the Michael is just straight up fat.
Yeah. They just couldn't replicate.
It's just so funny.
I need to watch Halloween
6,
because that's the scariest one to me. Partaking... So, instead of Michael being evil, he represents obesity in America. And truly, that's the real killer.
And then Halloween H2O, Michael wears 3 different masks.
Part of, I think, the draw to the 78 Halloween is that you can read so much... like metaphors and symbols into it, such as, I think the biggest one would be, and you mentioned you like Scream, and I always think about that scene in Scream where they're like watching Halloween and they're breaking down like all the rules of like slasher horror movies.
There's certain rules you must live by in order to survive a scary movie.
And the first one is you like under no circumstances can have sex. And
right, and you never say I'll be right back.
You never say I'll be right back. And the last girl standing is always the virgin, or like the either the nerdy one or the most like morally upright, quote unquote.
Jamie Kennedy has his quips, has his qualms, whatever you want to say. But he was made for those first two movies. Like his character, Randy Newman, I think is what his name was, is just great. And he's even in the third, but that's just because Jamie Kennedy wanted to check and he did a little video cameo.
I think
cameo.
Jamie Kennedy went for the bag after, I think he was really good in early in his career. And then he said, you know what? I'm going to go get the bag. I'm going to go do Malibu's Most Wanted and The Masks 2. And it just, Baby Mask, whatever that movie was.
Son of Mask. I think. I don't even know.
The big swings, big misses.
Yeah, that scene where he's like, look behind you, and the scream killer is just standing here right behind him and he has no idea. Like, that's just so good.
Yeah, hard agree on that.
Maybe Squish it and Scream.
I will happily come back on and just talk about all different kinds of scary movies. We could have a breakdown album here.
Wait,
for it.
Which one's a better mask? The Michael Myers mask or the Ghostface mask from Scream?
Ghostface. Pure mask, so? Ghostface, but representation
from a visceral,
Ghostface. But I mean, Michael Myers mask
to me scarier would be Michael. Ghostface is like it's almost so generic looking. That's like I've seen that in every Kroger in the world. Like Michael, it's like that mask. There's nothing to it, and it's just like walking down the street and seeing someone in a scream mask. It'd be like, that's creepy. If I walk out tonight on the street when it's dark outside and I see someone in overalls and a Michael Myers mask, I'm turning around and walking away.
So here's a story I have about Michael Myers. So I mentioned
I'll be right back.
No, Dusty, you're not gonna return. I watched Halloween growing up. you know, it scared me. I can remember taking out my trash at like, you know, 9 or 10 p.m. on like a school night and being like convincing myself that Michael Myers was watching me from afar, which is part of why I find the first hour so unsettling, is because it's like, man, that it really makes you start to wonder, like, is somebody watching me? So, but also my younger sister, who's 4 years younger than me, Anna Grace, if you're listening, hello. She also watched them and was also terrified by them, AMC Fear Fest, but continued to watch them. And she was driving home one night and saw a person in a full Michael Myers outfit, mask, mechanic suit and everything, walking around the neighborhood, and it freaked her out. And the next morning, she swears that when she went out the front window, the front door, not that she doesn't leave through the window, when she went out the front door, she saw Michael Myers standing at her car, to the point where she sprinted back in, called the police, and the police had to come and like do this whole investigation. Now, the theory around the Wiley household is that she never saw him. She saw a neighbor, but was so convinced that it was Michael Myers because she was so scared the night before. So there is a good chance that Michael Myers has come and stalked somebody at my childhood home. So
when I was younger, my neighbor, I didn't know he had it, but he bought a whole Michael Myers get up and was just sitting down on his porch one night and like sitting on his rocking chair on his front porch. And like I drove and parked. Maybe I took trash. I was by myself, but I wasn't driving yet. And he's just sitting on his porch and just staring at me. And I was like, I know who you are. And I'm still incredibly uncomfortable and scared. Like, why are you doing this? It's just unsettling.
Yeah, and the Scream mask is almost a little over the top. It's very bombastic. It's very like, you know, no pun intended, in your face.
My question is, how that never come off?
The Scream mask?
Because Michael mask is kind of fitted. Like, it makes sense. But and all those chase scenes and all the times where the character got punched and you hear him go, oh, and they get hit and they fall downstairs. How did that mask never come off?
Fat face.
Yeah, I don't know.
Form fitting.
Yeah. So, Dusty, what are your general thoughts on scary movies?
Generally, I hate them.
Why do you hate them?
Not a big scary movie guy. Mainly because I'm a huge baby, and I get very scared, and I don't like that feeling. I'm a larger guy in general, so my heart rate typically sits around 100 to 110. So any higher really decreases my life expectancy.
Yeah, so it's a medical issue.
So I can't get it up that high anymore, honestly. And then two, I just don't like the feeling. I don't like feeling like I'm out of control. I guess maybe it's a control thing. But like, I know growing up, my friends would ask me to go see scary movies and I would refuse. And then they would finally get me to agree. And I would always have to make sure I wore a hoodie to the film because I would always pull hood up over the eyes. One of my favorite things to do, though, is to go to Kings Island Halloween Fear Fest every year and go through their haunted houses because they're actually kind of joke. They're like not good. Kings Island, please sponsor us, but they're not very good. But where I'm a dude and I'm a little bit bigger, I always go in front and they leave me alone. They like attack the girls behind me, and that's always a good feeling.
I love haunted houses. I love haunted houses. They're so good. The last one I went to, it was in Houstonville, Kentucky, and I was in the back, and they usually leave the guy in the back alone too because they know you're just like following up the group and whatever. And so this guy came out in like this clown mask and a chainsaw, and I was like, I like looked at him and was like, hey, they're up there. Go scare the girls they're with or whatever. And he runs past me and he's scared him, whatever. I'm back there laughing. And he turns, and he doesn't mean to, but when he turns, he like drops his chainsaw to walk away. When he turns, he just hits me square in the nuts with the chainsaw.
Ooh.
And like I drop to the ground, like grimacing. He's like takes off his mask. Oh my god, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
You're just like, I'll see you in court.
Crazy fast. The lights all come on, the music stops. Like it happened so fast. And he was like, I was like, dude, I'm fine.
You literally just put a chainsaw right through my crotch, but I'm good, man. I'm good.
That's how they did vasectomies in the 1700s.
So
just cut people's balls right open.
I got put in the front of the group, and I was like walking, and I was like, they were like, go faster. I was like, I'm literally going as fast as I can right now.
People, that's a really sneaky, underrated thing about guy culture. People don't understand how bad that hurts. when you get, you know, nut tapped or hitting the privates, you're down for a while.
Yeah, it's, you would think that, like, they should have done that with Michael, right?
A good, just a straight kick to the balls.
I'm pretty sure there's scene. I think in Halloween 6, actually, she kicks him in the nuts. It doesn't faze him.
Michael,
the heroine in Halloween 6 is great. She is one of the best ones, I think. I really enjoyed watching her. But I remember in Friday the 13th, Part 3, Jason kills someone by sticking them in the penis with a spear gun and then firing it. He, like, sticks it right in there, right in the old peepee, lifts them up in the air so they're vertical, and then shoots the spear gun.
That's the yeah.
I remember thinking, it's never make you mad.
Yeah. So I'll ask you this. I'll ask both of you all this. What's the most, not the best scary movie? Because, like, if you look at my horror movie scare, like, rankings, not all of them are necessarily, like, the scariest right. movies. But what's the most scared you've ever been by a movie?
The Strangers.
Okay. And so The Strangers is a little bit similar to Halloween, right? So you have
sort of
characters with
sort
masks.
Of, I mean, it's, to me, it's,
they talk, though.
It's much smaller. It's focused on really two people. It's a couple who go to a cabin by themselves. And it's not even like a cabin in the woods. Like, there's other cabins around them. But, like, the cavalierness, the nonchalantness of the people, and, like, literally they ask, why are you doing this? And the woman goes, because you were home. Like, you answered
right.
the door. Like,
which is
literally
essentially what Michael Myers' reason was.
Anyone who answered the door, they would have attacked. And that's terrifying. Like, and, like, they stalked the way he did. Like, they knew, they let you know they're stalking you. They didn't try to hide it. So that one, like, I remember watching that in college, and it freaked me the heck out. I was legitimately like, okay, I'm a little scared right now. And rarely I say that about movies. That's why I like horror movies. I like being scared. I'll be honest, it kind of scares me.
Yeah, that one.
Not
the TV
it's so
movie.
Much a clown, but, like, just the way it preys on your fears.
Yeah, that TV movie got me in middle school big time.
Oh, yeah. I remember, I think, watching that with my mother when I was younger and just being terrified. Now, you know, clowns don't scare me, but it scared the heck out of me.
Yeah. What, do you have a most scared you've ever been, Dusty?
Probably The Pacifier with Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
That really got me going when I was in seventh grade. We watched it more of just socially. We watched it in Miss Wheeler's class. It was final exam week. I guess we had it in, like, VHS or DVD. And you could use a pass to get out of a final exam. And, you know, different teachers had movies playing in the room for the kids who exempted out. And I told a girl I liked her during that movie, and she laughed. Like, actually laughed out loud. And everybody, like, Miss Wheeler stopped the movie and said, why are you guys laughing so loud? That's how loud she got. And so that movie scarred me as
that's
a
terrifying.
Personal place in hell for me.
Yeah.
That was really the first time I had to deal with rejection in my life. And I didn't deal with it well, and it kind of shadows where I'm at right now, mentally and emotionally.
Yeah, man.
But other than that, Child's Play really scared me. I think
yes.
Chucky's a super
Child's
scary
Child's Play
doll.
Is scary. Yeah, I don't know why people didn't just kick that doll, but it does freak me out every time I see that doll.
He comes back. He comes back biting your ankles. That's literally, like, the embodiment of a chihuahua on a doll's body.
Yeah. My answer to what's the most scared I've ever been by a movie is, so I was scared of pretty much every movie growing up. I was like terrified of everything. So I love horror movies now, and a big part of that is Halloween and AMC's Fear Fest. But before that, I mean, we're talking Disney Channel original movies scared me. The Luck of the Irish being chief among them. The Mummy, I can still remember where I was and what I was looking at when I was 7 or 8 when I accidentally stumbled into that. Movie terrified me.
Those beetles crawling through that guy's skin.
It was that opening scene where they mummify the guys alive. That one really got me. Rewatched that recently. Great film.
Listen, Brendan Fraser had a run that he does not get the credit for. In that
and he's
period.
Coming back, too. He's about to have another run.
Yeah, he's
a
in
good
a
boy.
Lot of, like,
Brendan
really
Fraser's
good
a good
movies.
Boy. He's one of our good boys.
Blast from the Past, The Mummy. both great movies. Mummy Returns, okay.
Yeah, and then it really goes off the rails there after, like, Scorpion King.
This scene in Insidious scared the absolute hell out of me.
So I've never watched those movies. I don't really do well with devil stuff. I don't really like watching it, so I don't watch it.
So this is one that a friend drew me, like, you know, pulled me into. And this scared me so bad, I thought about it for weeks after. Like, anytime I would look out a window, I would think I would see this guy. And they played that song, Tiptoeing Through the Tulips. Tiptoe through the window. Oh, my. I still can't listen to that song without getting a little jump.
Yeah. The Conjuring scared me quite a bit when I first watched that.
I tell you a movie that made me kind of, I don't know if I say it scared me, but it made me uncomfortable, is there's two of them that come to mind. There's one called The Collector.
I haven't seen that, no.
It's really not a really good, well-known horror movie. It's really good. It's about this guy who, it's a home invasion type scary movie, horror movie, if you notice a trend. But he sets traps in your own home. So, like, he'll put razor blades on the window, nails on the floor, and then he'll capture you and torture you in your own home. And, like, he takes one person from every crime scene and keeps them. He collects them. And at the next crime scene, he drops them off. It's really, really good. There's one called The Collector. There's one called The Collection. It's the sequel. Another movie that really terrified me was It Follows.
Yes, did you all see that? Yeah.
Like, it just never stopped.
Yeah.
And that was really freaky to me. Like, you don't know who it is. It could come as one of your friends and you wouldn't know it.
That's another fun then, one, like, metaphor-wise. Like, what is that? You know, they're playing with the Halloween kind of.
It also messes with you because you don't even know what period of time it's in. You think it's in the 80s. It could be in the 90s. It could be now. You don't know really what's going on. You're just all screwed up. You don't know what's happening. And then a movie that I don't know if it scared me, but always affected me was Blair Witch.
Oh, yeah. First time I ever watched Blair Witch. So two stories from Blair Witch real quick. I first watched Blair Witch at my friend Zach Nilla's house in high school, and his older brother convinced us this was actual found footage. And, you know, I didn't have a smartphone then. I didn't just whip out my phone. You know, I was probably like a sophomore or junior in high school, which might date me a little. I didn't have a smartphone yet. But yeah, and we were watching it at his house, which was basically a cabin in the woods, and I was terrified. Absolutely terrified. Then, once I started dating my now wife, Rachel, I had her watch it, and I did the exact same thing to her. And I was like, okay, now, Rachel, here's the thing. This thing's, like, very controversial when it came out because it was real found footage. They've never seen these kids since there. So I really sold it, and it really terrified her.
The viral marketing they did on that movie was incredible because that was right when the internet really hit. They made all these websites and shot all these videos about how it being real. Like, looking back on it, it's still so good.
And those actors, like, couldn't even do press for a while because they had to, like, the studio was like, no, we have to
and
make,
like,
people believe you're dead.
If you want to watch a good behind-the-scenes stuff, watch how they treated those actors. They literally, like, in real life, took their maps. They would slowly take off part of their food rations every day. So they were not only, like, playing like they were hungry and stuck, they were literally making them get lost and be hungry and tired, and they would keep them up all night. Like, what they were doing was terrible to those people.
There's a book called 1999 Best Movie Year Ever. I highly recommend it. I listened to the audiobook, but they have a full chapter in there just on the Blair Witch Project, and they talk a lot about exactly what you said, just like the extreme methods they went to.
I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who still think it's fake or still think it's real.
Probably.
I watched it a lot, that's and how there's still deep times that marketing I went. Watch it, and I'm like, dude, this could be real. Like, it really could be. Like, I could be watching. I mean, found footage, you know it's obviously not real, but it really feels like it could be.
And that was really, like, there wasn't a found footage genre when that thing came out, so that was such a novelty. That one's pretty high up there. That's easily top 15 horror movies for me. Yeah, that's a good one. So, do you want to do our draft?
Well, I wanted to, before we get to the draft, Joseph, I wanted to do some of those questions you were talking about.
Okay. So I used to, I guess I still do. We're on a hiatus right now. We host a podcast where we do questions that you've never wanted answered, asked to be answered, or really ever thought to be answered. We answer them for you. So for reference sake, who would you like to get the sex talk from? Tom Brady or Peyton Manning? which gotta Hollywood movie would be best as a Broadway musical. We did that with the person who actually performs on Broadway. It was Con Air versus Jurassic Park.
Okay.
Yes, I won with Con Air. We did which Muppet character would you simp for? Just stuff that you never want answered. One of the ones we did was which fast food mascot would be the best horror movie villain?
Oh, okay. So the easy answer off the bat would be Ronald McDonald, but I'm not going to go with that.
Ronald McDonald, right.
Because that's
I want to hear both your all's answers and give me a pitch for your movie.
Okay.
So just spitballing, I think the Burger King King is made more...
See, that's what I was about to say.
He's made scary because of those commercials that were like in, what, 07, 08? Very creepy. Very, very creepy.
I was about to say Burger King King. That would be... Because that face doesn't change... You can't really tell who it is. Yeah, that, there's something very unsettling about a mask that is smiling that doesn't stop smiling.
Okay.
That one's up there for me. Does Arby's have a mascot?
They have the meats.
So
just a
that's already a movie. It's called Teeth.
Their mascot is the meat sweats is what that is.
Oh so, man.
I hope somebody gets that I'm joke.
We chose the person who I debated.
I've got my answer.
The Chick-fil-A cows? Could they be scary?
Yeah, man, in the way that they're scary in like Kung Pao, Enter the Fist.
Love that movie.
They start shooting milk at you through their udders. Yeah.
So
I had to brush up on my Kung Pao references.
My, my co-host of that day chose Chuck E. Cheese.
Which is Charles like Entertainment that Cheese, new Nicolas Cage movie,
and he
right?
was... what happened in his movie was someone found a animatronic Chucky from that was thrown out, and he like refurbished it, but it came alive and went on a killing spree.
That's pretty good.
I chose Colonel Harlan Sanders. He had a hotel in Corbin, and one night a new couple on their way for a honeymoon in Gatlinburg stopped off the hotel because they're big KFC fans, and what they thought would be a night of wedded bliss turned into a night of pure terror.
So I'll go low-hanging fruit and just say, so the play place at McDonald's is like there's something off about it. Like when you go in, like you take a turn for where you're for sure you're gonna like get out of the play place and you don't. It's just like a dead end. So I'd be like, and then throw in Ronald McDonald is after you. What's the purple thing? What's his name? Grimace.
Grimace, yes.
Grimace.
Grimace is after you as well. That's the pitch I'd give.
So my scary movie is a little bit Saw based and a little bit Space Jam 2 based. It's the killer is so my scariest fast food restaurant mascot are the people from Quiznos, the rats, whatever you want to call them.
I have no idea
what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't remember this at all.
Oh yeah, these things are terrifying.
What is
Quiznos? Terrifying. don't do this. Don't disrespect Quiznos in front of me.
That's true.
Quiznos, the best fast food sub, bar none. I'll fight. That's a hill I would die on. But anyway, they appear on TV and they give out a warning message that you know people are going to start dying if. Something I don't know, we can get more into the minutia at some point, but something doesn't happen, and so people are panicking. They like start killing each other, kind of like a purge. And then you find out that it's just some kid using you know Microsoft Paint to make these crudely drawn rat pictures. But that would be my answer.
Yeah, I think we can green like that, right? We could talk to Blumhouse.
Universal would 100%.
Yeah, you crank that thing out $1-2 million budget. That'll make $10 million easy.
I
can make that for $20,000.
If the Epstein brothers weren't complete miserable pieces of crap, then you definitely know Dimension would have picked that up.
Yeah, definitely.
So we did a lot of stuff like that. 100%. A lot of fun stuff. We rescored the Titanic movie.
You can't change perfection, my man.
Well, we didn't change Celine Dion, but we chose new songs. Like we chose a new song for the I'm King of the World. I won that debate with Kings and Queens by 30 Seconds to Mars. Paint Me Like Your French Lady was Paint Me in Birmingham by Tracy Lawrence.
I'm not sure I know that one.
Oh, it's a good one. Paint Me a Birmingham, you know, with his crazy voice. And then the last song that would play when Rose Let's Go of Jack would be Goodbye, My Lover by James Blunt.
Oh, good one.
So it's called Tell Me I'm Wrong. We're on a hiatus right now, but definitely check it out if you ever want to listen to some ridiculous stuff. But that was my main question of like, what would you choose to be? If you were in a horror movie, how would you survive? And you can't say not have sex because that's a lame answer. Like, what would you do to survive?
I'm not having sex. I'm not laying by.
By choice.
I'm staying away. By somebody's choice.
not yours. Somebody else's.
Somebody's choice. Somebody's making that decision for me.
I would try to avoid like extremes. How would I survive in a horror movie? Like, I wouldn't be like super quiet. But I also wouldn't be like super loud and talkative. I would just try to be like the most mellow person who's just always trying to think one step ahead. And maybe even like, you know, not encouraging other people to be dumb, but like it's every person for themselves out there. So I don't know.
The old bear chase and you kick them in the knee. I don't have to outrun them. I have to outrun you.
It depends on where I'm at, right? If it's set in like a, if I'm in a hotel or something, I'm leaving, right? I'm walking out of the hotel. If it's Mitch and I together, we're back to back and we're walking down hallways together. We're never like separating. We're never getting apart. I'm getting the fire extinguisher. So if we ever get caught in the room with him, we blow a little fire extinguisher, like smoke, like a smoke bomb. We're out of there. And then we set up a trap by the stairs so we can trip him going downstairs. Just comically large stairs as well is kind of what I imagine. Like I would, the Shining stairs.
I would try not to be oblivious, but I also wouldn't be like overly curious about the things that were happening. Because that's where you get in trouble. It's when you start investigating. So I would
see, avoid I think, that. To me, I'm going on the offensive. Not necessarily after them, but like I'm being proactive to try to figure out who it is, why they're doing it, why they're coming after us. Because if you look at these movies, the people who try to run and hide all die.
Stay out in the open. That's what Lori should have done. Gonna, she should have just like kept running in the street yelling.
Well, yeah, and what a jerk neighbor. What a jerk neighbor. She knocks. Yeah. You have a 17-year-old girl at your house screaming, help me, like in a way that obviously seems like something's not right. Yeah. And the dude shuts his light off. I'm going to his house the next day and beating the crap out of that guy.
He probably knew who she was. It was a small town. Yeah. It's not like they, you know, they're in New York City where you don't know your neighbor. It's well, I say I don't know my neighbor.
See, I feel like today it depends on where you're from, but I could easily see that happening. Like for example, for sure. We were just on vacation last week. And it was probably close to midnight, like 11:30, between 11:30 p.m. and midnight. And there was a woman next door in our hotel, and she was kept banging on the door. I mean, it was loud. Like, our wall was shaking. And, like, we were just, like, barely, like, peeking out the window, trying to see who it was. I finally, like, barely opened the door, and it was a woman. She was sitting there crying. And I just closed the door.
What a jerk.
So you are the guy.
She needed help.
See, I have zero issue with that house, I guess. But what I'm saying is, like, maybe they were like, I mean, it was late at night. They're probably like, yeah, forget this. Like, what is this crazy person doing? So
that's probably exactly what they were thinking, and they could have led to Lori's death. Like, imagine that blood on your hands. Like, you could have saved that girl.
Or maybe they're thinking, hey, this guy's just going to keep coming after you. You can shoot him 5 or 6 times. He's not going to go down. They knew.
I shot him 6 times.
Joseph, what's your second favorite Carpenter movie?
Oh, that's tough. John Carpenter's Vampires.
Oh, wow. You are full of hot takes. I haven't seen that one, though. So maybe
I remember watching it at my buddy's house. We ate Totino's pizzas. I remember... Okay, so I remember watching it at his house on like a Sunday afternoon. It was rated R. I was like 13 or 14. I knew I had probably should not be watching this. And there's a very if Halloween is not explicit, Jar Carpenter's Vampires is almost X-rated. There's a scene where a vampire goes down on a woman, and it doesn't show. He does it with her underwear.
Dusty's already firing up Letterboxd. He's like, "Where is this streaming?"
Which, yeah, which is strange. We're going to watch this. He, like, bites her on the inside of her thigh and, like, all this. And, like, I remember thinking, like, I got to go. I'm going to get in trouble. And I'm staying and watching it. That was the only scene like that. But, like, it's got what's his name now? Not James Caan. Oh, shoot. He's in Entourage. He's in Any Given Sunday.
Al Pacino?
Al Pacino?
No. I was about to say.
Now he's like, he just, James Woods.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I always know him James from Family Woods Guy.
James Woods in it.
Yeah.
Danny Baldwin's in it. Thomas Ian Griffith's in it. There's a lot of really good actors in it. Mark Boone Jr., who's like one of the best method actors, character actors of all time. So that's one if it's on, I always watch it. It's terrible, but it's enjoyable.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those. It's, you know, it's bad, but you just love watching it. Mine would have to be The Thing. I feel like The Thing is really good.
You know, I've never seen that.
It's good. It's really good.
That's what I hear. I need to watch it.
Yeah, and it's
I really like Big Trouble in Little China. I don't know why.
I've never seen that one.
It's a wild movie. Like, just so many choices.
I saw it, like, on Comedy Central or something when I was younger. Or maybe it was, like, an HBO free movie weekend, which is when everybody got first introduced to, like, softcore pornography, too. That's, you know, the downfall of man was HBO free weekend because everybody was like, I got to stay up till 2 a.m. when my parents go to bed. Yes. But anyway, yeah, I saw it there, and it blew me away by how weird and over the top it was. A bust. It was
Escape from New York is another good one with Carpenter and Kurt Russell.
Yeah, that's a good one. Assault on Precinct 13 is really good.
Yeah, The Thing is great. The Thing makes an appearance. The original The Thing from the 50s, I think is when it was, makes an appearance. Is what they're watching, and that's his. I think that's Carpenter's favorite director is Howard Hawks. So he remade The Thing.
Night of the Living Dead also makes an appearance in this movie because no one owns the rights to it, so they can put it in any movie.
Oh, I did not know that. Huh.
Yeah, that's why it's in so many movies. No one owns the rights of Night of the Living Dead, so you can show it. Don't have to give any credit. Don't have to pay anybody for it.
That's another movie that's, like, very metaphorical. It's not going to be super scary today, but it's just such a classic.
They're coming to get you, Charlotte.
That's a good one. I think I might like Dawn of the Dead more. The one from the 70s, but yeah, both those are top shelf zombie movies for sure.
All right, let's get to our draft. We'll randomize. Let's hit it. I've got the number one pick, then Joe, then Mitch, and we're gonna do a snake draft.
So what are we drafting here? Best movie, best villain, best what?
Scariest characters
of the movie, or like scariest killers or whatever.
Scariest characters is our draft. So we try to do a draft every episode we've done. Most quotable comedies. And so today our draft will be scariest characters. So with the number one pick, I'm going to select Large Marge from Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Can we get an image? Can you share your screen for this one? I'm not sure if I'm...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can definitely share that. Large Marge, she was a truck driver that Pee-wee comes across, and she does this face. Eyes go real big, animated, teeth come out. And as a kid, that scarred me. Scared me so bad. I think I peed myself for the next week in bed. So number one pick for me has to be Large Marge, Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go outside the box, too, here. So I'll admit some hard truths here. This scared me more than anything else. I think my dad slept with me for 6 months after I watched this movie. But it's from The X-Files. Season 4, Episode 2 is named Home. And it's about a family of inbred cannibals, the Peacock family from Home, Pennsylvania, who would beat people to death with clubs at night if they threatened their family. So they would literally come in one night. There was a type of small town that left the door open. They came in one night. They thought that they heard the sheriff was coming after him. They just beat him to death, him and his wife to death with clubs, and let their convertible sit outside and play music. But the Peacock family, and it's – okay, so this episode was only showed one time on network television. It was considered one of the most graphic television episodes of all time. They showed it once, and never made the syndication again. Even in syndication now, I do not think they are legally allowed to show it on TV. You can watch it on Hulu, watch it on whatever else. FX may show it. I don't know.
That's such a good pitch. That's such a great sales pitch for like, you should watch this because yeah, you can't.
It literally scared the crap out of me. It's the three brothers and they live there with their mom. They're all inbred cannibals. Like the movie starts out where you see the picture in the upper left. He's burying his kid who died. But they're trying to just keep their family going. And they murdered the deputy, the sheriff, the wife, the deputy. It's terrified me. So the Peacock family is my number one overall pick.
Good pick.
Okay. So for my pick, I'm going to go a little bit outside the box as well. I would consider this to be a character from one of the greatest horror films ever made. The Overlook Hotel from The Shining. I think is one of the scariest characters. The hotel itself, because that is the villain of The Shining, is the hotel. It is this supernatural haunted place that has pretty much forever ruined hotels for me. I still, to this day, and I saw The Shining probably, I was too young to see it, around the same time as Halloween. But I mean, I'm still unsettled when I stay in a hotel, especially one with like long winding hallways like that. Very scary, especially like if you ever like go out of your room at like 3 a.m. in a hotel, it's terrifying.
Would never do that. That's insane. That's insane behavior.
And that's because of the Overlook Hotel and The Shining. So that's my number one pick.
All right. You've got pick number two.
Okay. For pick number two, I am going to go with Bruce, which is the name they gave to the mechanical shark from Jaws. So I'm going to go just the shark from Jaws. Is Jaws the name? No. I don't know if it's the name of the shark. I don't think they ever give it a name in the movie. But the shark from Jaws. Terrifying. Similar to hotels, it kind of ruins beaches for like entire generations. So, two, maybe a little bit non-traditional picks.
I think I'm going to go with Michael. I'm going to go with the shape here. The OG.
Yeah, good pick. Good pick. That's value right there in the second round. So for my second pick, I'm going to select Miss Trunchbull from Matilda.
She is scary.
She's so scary. She 100% would eat me alive. She would lock me in the, what was it called? The bookie or whatever with the spikes. She would throw you around. She threw that girl by her pigtails. I mean, just an absolute unit of a person. And just wasn't nice, wasn't a good person. Made Bruce Bogtrotter eat an entire cake until he threw up. Honestly, is what I attribute my obesity to, is watching that scene. It traumatized me so hard I ate cake every day from now on.
We're really delving. This is like an entire therapy session for you.
Yeah. But Miss Trunchbull with my second pick. And then third round, I'm going Seamus from The Luck of the Irish.
Please don't put the picture up.
I'm picking Seamus. I have a friend who, when he was younger, he watched the Disney Channel original movie Seamus, or Luck of the Irish, and this character Seamus scared him and scarred him so badly, he had to go to therapy for years because of Seamus. So my number three pick will be Seamus, the leprechaun from Luck of the Irish.
I think I'm going to go with Pennywise.
Yeah.
I just
yeah.
Pennywise, he's scary, man.
What iteration?
I really like the movie one. Alexander Skarsgård, his mannerisms, his voice. It was scary.
All right, is that my turn? Give me Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Oh
yes, terrified.
That's another kind of, but that's. So I think Halloween, because Halloween is often attributed for being the one, like the first slasher movie.
It started the slasher trend. I don't think Leatherface is a true slasher.
Yeah, I guess he would be more of a butcher. I mean, I guess Psycho would be like the original. Even Black Christmas.
The Prowler and Black Christmas are considered the first slasher movies.
Yeah, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Joseph, but didn't Carpenter kind of envision Halloween to being kind of like similarly to Black Christmas in that it's themed around a holiday. You got a slasher, you got young people. So I think Black Christmas was a big influence on
Carpenter. I mean, originally this movie was supposed to be called The Babysitter Murders.
Yeah.
And it was just going to be a one-off. He wanted an anthology. He never wanted to continue on. He didn't want it to be a bunch of Michael Myers. He wouldn't have one movie, then a new movie, and then a new movie like Halloween 3, move on throughout it.
Yeah, and that's not a bad idea. But Halloween is such a good movie title. But anyway, all that to say, Leatherface, another kind of agent of chaos. You don't really understand why he's doing what he's doing, but you just know that you're terrified. So give me Leatherface. And then after that, I am going to go with Hannibal Lecter from The Silence, specifically from The Silence of the Lambs.
Terrifying.
Hannibal Lecter character from the 80s Michael Mann movie, Manhunter, is good. It's a different kind of Hannibal Lecter. He's a lot more charming, I think. It's a good movie, but The Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter, very terrifying. Best actor, best actress, best screenplay, best director, best picture. I think it's the last movie to do all five of those. Silence of the Lambs, great film.
The numbers, man.
I'll go with the lead character from the movie The Collector. You'll have to look him up. His mask is very scary, and just the way he goes about doing it, it's very unnerving and very creepy. So I think I'll go with him.
Oh my gosh, he is creepy.
You, you got to watch this movie. I'm telling you, if you like horror, you got to watch The Collector. The Collection is the sequel. That's on HBO Max, but The Collector is the first one. It's much.
I'm getting Human Centipede vibes from The Collector.
No, it's none of that.
No ass to mouth.
Mm, well.
All right, for my fourth pick. So this is final pick of the fourth round, first pick of the fifth round. I'm going to go the Chucky doll from Child's Play. That was that actually was the first time I remember being scared. When I was probably 8 or 9, my brother had a sleepover for one of his birthdays, and he and all his friends watched Child's Play. And I tried. The first 5 minutes, I tried to sit there, couldn't do it, went into the kitchen with my mom, and felt like such a loser. And my brother's friend Chase came out and played with my Bionicles with me, made me feel like a big kid. So shout out to Chase. And then my final pick will be Christopher Lloyd in Dennis the Menace. He plays the main villain, and he is so creepy. If you haven't seen him,
not taking a bath is terrifying.
So,
oh yeah.
Okay, is this the Dennis the Menace that was directed by the guy who played the Shape in Halloween? I know that he directed a Dennis the Menace movie. Know. It is.
It was directed by Nick Castle.
There you go. Wow. Look at that. Did you
come full circle?
You knew that. You knew it.
I actually knew that.
You're well done. Well done. Yeah. Rigorous research.
Thanks, man. Thanks. But yeah, that would round up my five. He absolutely terrified me growing up. There's a scene where he bites into an apple, and I've never wanted an apple less in my life than watching Switchblade Sam.
Man, that Dennis the Menace movie,
that while outside of a school.
That movie specifically would unlock a lot of memories that I didn't know I had. Streaming on Netflix, there you go. Oh, yeah. Now I know what I'm doing on Friday night. Dennis the Menace, 1993. Pump it into my veins.
Let's see. I just had one. I forgot it. One. The tall man from Phantasm is creepy. Just he's very unnerving, very unsettling. That's one that I would say is definitely up there. And he just always addresses. He's like, "Hey, boy." He doesn't say much, which is scary. So I'd have to say the tall man from Phantasm. And that may just be by, creature of habit. Like, I've been watching those, so it's fresh in my mind. Recency bias. But there was one other one I was going to say, and I can't remember what it is now.
So this is our final pick, right, Dusty?
Yeah, this is your final pick.
Okay. So far I've gone with The Overlook Hotel, Hannibal, Leatherface, and the shark from Jaws. So I'm down to three that I could choose from. I could do the Xenomorph from Alien. similar to Jaws, so I won't do that one. I could do Freddy Krueger from A Nightmare on Elm Street, which I find particularly scary because of the dreams aspect. But that's kind of similar to kind of already some of the other ones I picked. I'm going to go with The Thing from The Thing, partially because it's just an incredible work of special effects, practical effects, really, and like the actual kind of way they made the thing, the shape-shifting the thing look when it took, like, when it ate that dog, and it's just really gross looking. And also, part of what makes the thing scary is you never know who's real and who's been embodied by the thing, and that's part of the psychological terror of the thing. So give me The Thing from The Thing to round out my five.
Yeah, I think that's a good list. If I'm being honest, I won that draft easily, but
yeah, I don't.
You guys did a really good job.
We were drafting different things, I think, altogether there.
I was very clear in my text to both of you that we were drafting scariest characters. I was very clear about that. Yourself. Find somebody who wasn't absolutely terrified of Mr. Trunchbull. Find somebody.
What movie was that from again? Miss Trunchbull?
Matilda.
Matilda. Man, that's another one I haven't seen. And oh, man, it's got to be.
I'm more scared of Danny
DeVito. Oh, he is terrifying. Movie. His eyebrows are huge in that movie for no reason.
Actually, the scariest Danny DeVito movie is Batman.
So here you go. Here's a good story for Rachel. If you're listening to this, I'm proud of you for making it this far.
Baby, get in here!
But she would fake. Either she would pee the bed on purpose so she could sleep with her parents because she was so scared of the Penguin from Batman Returns. Or if she couldn't, she, you know, stage fright, didn't drink enough water, she would pour water to make it look like she wet the bed so that she could sleep with her parents because she was so scared that the Penguin.
Why not just pour the water every time instead of actually pissing the bed?
I mean,
you know, the signs of a serial killer is peeing the bed. That's one of the common signs.
She listens to enough Crime Junkies for all three of us, so I don't know.
I have a very hot take about Danny DeVito in Batman Returns. I think his iteration of the Penguin is as good as Heath Ledger's iteration of the Joker.
It's pretty good.
I believe that with all of my heart. I don't necessarily think that his Penguin is as good of a character, but I think he played the Penguin as good as it could possibly be.
Yeah, it's tough to think of a better Penguin in that role. I think those first two Batman.
He bought a raw fish, bit into a raw fish, like literally did it. It wasn't fake. Just ate a raw fish.
So that
taking sushi.
Batman and Batman Returns. I feel like they get lumped in with Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, but those are very different movies.
Who's doing that? They've never seen them.
I love all
even
of those
even
movies.
Batman and Robin.
I've got a.
Batman's my favorite.
I like Batman and Robin.
Batman's my favorite superhero of all time.
I know I'm in the wrong.
Oh, you're not wrong. I mean, look at me. I'm watching horror movies and I'm actively telling you they're bad and I choose to watch them.
What do you think about Cabin in the Woods?
I really enjoyed Cabin in the Woods. Actually, my wife does not like horror movies, but I got her to watch it and she really enjoyed it. It's so different. It's fun.
So different.
I like horror movies that are different like that. Like, that's why I am a fan of like Blair Witch and like Cabin in the Woods and Phantasm. Like, I like things that are out of the box and different. And you're willing to try new things. And like one I really enjoy is The Frighteners. I don't know if y'all ever seen that with Michael J. Fox and Jake Busey. It's really, really good. 13 Ghost is really fun. House on Haunted Hill is very different, very fun. All those movies are different. They're fun to watch. Get Out's different in that way. So I really like movies
like
that.
What's the last scary movie you guys saw in theaters?
Candyman.
In theaters? Halloween
Candyman about a week ago or so.
I'll be going to see Halloween Kills in 37 days.
Are you not going to go see Candyman? Joseph?
I've never seen a Candyman movie, to be honest. Those are ones I need to watch.
I'm really
trying to hold off on going out. Like, I haven't gone. I love UK, but I'm not going to games right now. I have a 3-year-old who doesn't know how to social distance, so we're kind
understandable.
Kind of hard to do that. And so, if I'm going to go to the movie theater, it's for Halloween Kills.
Rachel is very excited Rachel loves horror movies as well. The I forgot to mention, I don't know if you have you seen Hereditary, Joseph? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we dated/engaged for about 3 years, and the entirety, well, not entirety, because the movie came out when we were dating 2 years in, but for about a year, I was like, Rachel, you gotta watch Hereditary. And she's like, okay, I'll watch it, but not until we're living in the same house and I can, like, go to sleep not alone at night. So I'm like, okay. So we get married, and it's our first night on our honeymoon. Nice. And we're at a cabin, nice. So in a kind of a secluded area in the woods, and I put on Hereditary, and she refuses to watch it to this day. And I think, man, we might have cut our honeymoon, like, short by, like, half a day because she was so scared.
not your best decision, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't, like, our legit honeymoon. But we saved that for after the world had gone to pot with COVID. So
I had yes. I had breakfast with Mitch and Rachel the morning after at Waffle House.
Yeah, that was the day we watched Hereditary.
Yeah, later that day or that night?
That night. Yeah, we watched it at night.
Yeah, my wife is not a fan, so I'm very, when I get her to watch her, I'm very picky, choosy about it. And I can usually tell, like I last night, she was like, I don't really want to watch anything. You can watch whatever you want. And she knows I'm trying to get through all these horror movies. So I watched Phantasm, and like I said, it's bad. It's campy, which I appreciate. It's not scary. So even she was like asking all these questions about it, because it's like, why did that just happen? Because it's just ridiculous.
That's what I love about movies and film, though. It's like everybody just has such a different taste, such different prerogative towards movie. Like, you both absolutely adore Halloween, and I watched it, and I was kind of like, it was good. It was fine.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, horror, definitely your mileage will vary. But the thing about horror is it can be not scary and still fun. You know, there's...
Yeah, like...
These campy horror movies are not scary, but you enjoy, like, watching them.
An American Werewolf in Paris, which is the sequel, the terrible sequel to An American Werewolf in Wonder, that has Tom Everett Scott in it. That's it. That's all the person you know is Tom Everett Scott. I think that's who it is.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, but it's fun. I just enjoy it. It's terrible. The acting's awful. The special effects are awful. I actually paid money for it, bought it, because I enjoy it. Like, I mentioned Mr. Nanny. Growing up, I used to love this movie. It's called Thunder in Paradise. It had Hulk Hogan in it. And, like, I went to Kroger's one night and found all three Thunder in Paradise for $5 in, like, a triple disc set. And I bought it. And I'm like, this is so bad. My wife watched it. She's like, I can't believe you watched this. I was like, I know, I can't either. But it's just a special place in my heart for it.
All right, boys.
Well, thank you all for having me on. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, of course. Tell them where they can check out your podcast, the previous episodes, and what's coming on.
Tell me I'm wrong. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, whatever. We haven't recorded in a while. We're hoping to get back up and running. One of our hosts actually just had a baby, so he's trying to get settled. And another host just bought a new house, so life's just kind of crazy right now. So we're hoping to get back on and record soon. But there's a lot of stuff out there that's just absolutely ridiculous, so go check it out.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. We'll talk to you next time. Shout out to our sponsor, One Oak Wedding Venue, our editor, Matthew Powell. For Mitch Wiley, I'm Dusty Koshreza, and this has been My Favorite Movie Is.
Have a good week. Be kind and rewind.
Ladies and gentlemen, this episode was brought to you by One Oak Event Venue. One Oak Event Venue is a wedding venue, event venue located in Nicholasville, Kentucky, on the Fayette County line in Jessamine County, Kentucky. Turn your one-of-a-kind dream into a reality. Call 859-888-0591 or 859-MORE-ART. That's 859-MORE-ART. One-of-a-kind event venue, One Oak.